This is John Dodds on WDIY 88.1. This year, Valentine's Day, February the 14th, lands on a Friday, and that's good news for Jazz Upstairs at Symphony Hall. A special Valentine's concert featuring a piano jazz trio led by my guest, concert pianist, composer, jazz quartet leader since the age of 13, and equally comfortable upstairs or downstairs at Symphony Hall. That may give you a cue to who it is. Welcome, Simon Mulligan.
What a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure is all ours.
We'll do our best American accents for your listeners.
Yes, to keep it simple, yes. Now, you've been described by Yehudi Menuhin as one of the finest pianists I've ever had the pleasure of performing with, and by Herbie Hancock as phenomenal.
Good heavens.
How do you develop such mastery in both classical and jazz genres, and where do your loyalties lie?
Oh, my loyalties with all good music. I guess I've always enjoyed improvising, and that, like the Mozarts and Beethovens from hundreds of years ago, everyone improvised, and I'm a big fan of that, and whether that's in classical music, tastefully, it's saying cadenzas with your wonderful symphony orchestra here, for example, that I've played with twice now, or with a jazz group. And so I just believe in getting your scales and technique, building up strength in the fingers, and then you have more versatility to play what you hear in your head and translate it into the fingers. It's less frustrating.
So. Now, would you say improvisation is part of your personality?
Good heavens, I hope so. So, wheedling my way out of things, yeah. That's more like it. No.
Now, what's interesting about this contrast between classical and jazz is that you're developing a trio in England, which is very much a mix of jazz and classical. Tell me about that.
Yes, this is a new group with the classical saxophonist Amy Dixon and American violinist Adam Barnett Hart. And this is a group we're putting together called Alchemy, which I think is a good name because it just focuses on the fact that we all love good music and different styles, and we'll be doing some arrangements of mine, and some composers have written works for us, and it really is a nice hodgepodge of good everything from Bartok's Contrast, Shostakovich, and Nigel Hess, the film composer. We're going to play some of his music. We're just throwing it all into the melting pot at the moment, and have some programs that are ready to go and perform.
Great. So, and where will you be playing?
We'll be in England to start at the wonderful Beaver Castle. I spotted it's used in the Crown Netflix series.
Oh, it must be good then.
It's a must be posh. Beautiful venue, yeah, nice acoustics. And with any luck, we'll be playing over here soon. So, yeah, that's exciting. I love arranging and working things for new groups, and it's not a conventional trio setup of violin, cello, and piano. So having a alto or soprano saxophone and violin and piano instead, it's good. Gets good for the ears and
sounds wonderful,
and for the audiences as well.
Now, interestingly enough, talking about castles, I've noted when I was checking through that you've actually given private performances for the Queen of England and President Barack Obama. Anything you can share about those gigs?
Oh, alas, not in a castle for those. But, I was very lucky to be invited to play at the Albert Hall for the royal family. It was their Armistice Day concert to honour the veterans of all the wars, and I played my arrangement of the Band of Brothers theme that I sort of co-wrote and collaborated with the great Michael Kamen, a passed away film composer. We worked on that, and that was it's a great tune. And then with Joshua Bell, we were fortunate to be invited to play at the reopening of the Ford Theatre in DC, and Barack Obama had only been in office for a few weeks, and it was this lovely, wonderful sort of crackling excitement in the room, and the guests were every prominent African-American you can think of, and being backstage, very small, and being backstage, and there's James Earl Jones sort of stooped over, you know, we'd waited to go out onto stage, and we're all crammed in there with James Earl Jones and Kelsey Grammer and Sidney Poitier.
Oh, wonderful.
And it was one of those wonderful, you know, you never forget these moments.
Special.
Yeah.
Very special. And of course, you've also played with Branford Marsalis, Liza Minnelli, and Sting, as well as Van Morrison. That's an eclectic
bunch. I know,
bunch.
All separate. Yeah, it's lovely. And they're all lovers of different styles of music, like myself. That's what I like. We like it all.
That's great. You've actually got a relationship with Steinway, haven't you? And you were talking about Cole Porter before we came on. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, so, well, I've been lucky to play many times on this beautiful 1908 Steinway that they gave to Cole Porter when he was living upstairs in the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. And it's recently been beautifully restored, the instrument. And so while the hotel is being refurbished, the piano has been living at the New York Historical Society Museum. And I gave a series of concerts there and recently promoted the piano at the hotel and may be playing it at Grand Central Station the night before our concert here.
Wow.
At 2:30 in the morning. Not confirmed, but it's there may be a little event there. Grand Central, empty except for some people having dinner, and it's
sounds very romantic.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
A beautiful station.
Absolutely, yeah, stunning. I'm curious to see it.
I bet the acoustics would be terrific.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah. So that's a random thing. I'm not used to playing the piano at 3 a.m. It used to be, but not anymore.
Probably end up on YouTube or something.
Yeah.
Yes. And talking about albums, and you've actually, I think the term is, you have an album dropping on April the 3rd.
Drop, yes. Yes, that is my latest album with Steinway. I've done, it might be my 8th one there. And it's lovely to have a classical album coming out. I've done Latin jazz, Ivan Novello, American songbook stuff. An album of Queen, Cole Porter, yes, being the most recent, and this will be an album of Beethoven variations and the Bagatelles to coincide with his 250th birthday, which is, this is the year, as we know.
Lots of birthdays. So we have Beethoven's 250th, we have Diane Whitry, who has 25th, with Symphony,
yes.
And it is WDIY's 25th. So
well,
a very
25's all around. It's
25's all
25
around.
25 pints around the table.
25, yes, absolutely. Yeah. And we'd love you to come to our WDIY party. We'll have to send you an invite for that. That'd be nice. Now, you have actually visited the Symphony Hall in one area or another about 7 times, is that right?
I think so. It's something nauseating. You keep having me back, and I'm kicking and screaming, and I eventually say yes. No, it's such a lovely atmosphere, and I love the idea of finishing a concerto with the orchestra downstairs and then popping upstairs to do a little relaxing. It's hard work, but it's nice to play some jazz to wind down, and we did that last year.
Two or three years. Yeah, that was terrific. You literally did a complete classical performance downstairs and took your jacket off and had a wonderful jazz performance.
Yeah, with Gene Perler and Dave Willard, it was nice.
Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but let's hear a little bit from Cole Porter Steinway album. This is John Dodds on WDIY with Simon Mulligan, who performs a special Valentine's Day concert with his trio on Friday, February the 14th at 7:30 p.m. upstairs at the Symphony Hall. This is John Dodds with Simon Mulligan, who performs a special Valentine's Day concert with his trio on Friday, February the 14th at 7:30. I have to ask you about something I picked up on your website, which will probably be rather bemusing for most people, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You have an extreme preference for Marmite, but you're also an amateur wine bore. Do you find a conflict? And perhaps we ought to explain to our listeners what Marmite is, for starters.
Well, every Brit living over here will know what I'm talking about. Marmite, it's one of those spreads. It's not sweet, it's a savoury, rich, salty spread you put on your bread, or even better, toast. And it has that umami effect on me. It's just one of those little staple things that a lot of us bring over from England, in addition to decent tea bags and chocolate. I love this country. I recently became an American citizen.
That's terrific. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah, that's wonderful. But you sound just like one.
But Marmite, I've never had it with a glass of wine. That's probably a bit too much because the saltiness, and although there's probably a wine pairing there. Good idea, thanks. And I've a very amateur wine bore, but on my travels, I do like to drink local, as I do with local beers and eat local foods. I love cooking and I love good food and company. There we are. And here we are.
Well, it's wonderful. Well, certainly can I just state for our American listeners that Marmite is definitely a love it or hate it.
Yes, I was involved in their campaign in, I think, 2003. It was 100 years of Marmite. I was one of the lovers.
Well, we will leave it there because we could spend hours on Marmite. Do check it out online. Nothing to do with the excellent performances that you're going to be creating with your trio, but a useful diversion. This is John Dodds on WDIY with Simon Mulligan, who is performing a special Valentine's Day concert with his trio, and we'll find more about that in just a moment.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
This is John Dodds with Simon Mulligan on WDIY. Simon is a concert pianist, composer, jazz quartet leader since the age of 13, and Marmite lover. Most important of all.
Come to the gig. Yeah.
Now, you've played such prestigious venues as Carnegie Hall, Royal Albert Hall, as well as intimate jazz venues in London, New York, and indeed Allentown. So where do you feel most comfortable, and how do you prepare for each of those?
Well, I'm comfortable in a small bar and a big concert hall. I mean, seeing Josh Bell was on the Grammys again the other day, and he and I played that show a little while ago, 18 years ago, but that was a ridiculous space, the Staples Center. And I think music creates an intimacy wherever you play, and it doesn't matter the audience. You love to play to lots of people, but I treat every audience as important as the next. And I love all sizes and shapes of venues. And you just enjoy creating. You take time away from 60 seconds in a minute and you say, here's the new time for the next half an hour or hour or whatever it may be. That's what I like about it. Yeah.
And what's wonderful about upstairs at the Symphony Hall is the intimacy of the gig, isn't it?
Yeah. They don't throw glass bottles at me anymore. I think we've switched to plastic now.
Yeah, after your fifth gig. Yeah. They got used to you.
I love the table and chairs arrangement, and it's a nice room. It's lovely and great sound guys and lighting, and I think all concert halls should have a space like that to relax after a show.
I think what attracts most people to the venue is the appreciation that the audience have for the jazz. It's a true listening room, and if you haven't been to the Rodale Room at the Symphony Hall, you really should get there, and this is the perfect opportunity to do so. It's friendly, it's intimate, you really can get up close and personal with the musicians, and it is a perfect way to relax on a Friday night.
I agree, yes. We create an atmosphere, and And everyone listens. It's great. Thank you for listening.
Now, your son Jasper is a budding drummer, and I recall his debut was upstairs at Symphony.
That'll go on his first CV when he applies to college, yeah. His drumming debut up at the Rodel Room, and he sits in on the odd gig. He's sat in with me at 606 Club in London, and what an honour for him to sit and play with Gene Perler and kind of Dave Willard to let Jasper play his kit. And yeah, he's been playing the drums now for several years. And
how old is he now?
He'll be 13 in June.
Oh, wonderful. That's a great way to start your...
And I've just been working with, in California, with a wonderful band, and the drummer of whom was Clayton Cameron, who's a phenomenal drummer, a specialist in brushwork. So I've been showing Jasper some of Clayton's videos and getting him into the brushes, not just the sticks, but he's good, he's enjoying it.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about your upcoming Valentine's Day gig with this trusted trio that you've been mentioning. renowned bassist Gene Perler, who's actually played with Sonny Rollins, Sarah Vaughan and Elvin Jones, and of course local drummer Dave Willard. You've played with them for a number of occasions now. It's a very tight trio, is it not?
It's nice. It's lovely to reconvene and revisit the old tunes and some different tunes, and it's a nice vibe. Good ears and relaxed people, and that's what no attitude. We just enjoy it and see where the music takes us.
Yes, yeah. I seem to recall Dave mentioning that. set list 5 minutes before the gig. Yeah.
He's had the set, yeah. We this time I've thought ahead. And of course, I'll change my mind right at the last minute just to annoy everyone. But
got to keep these guys on their toes. Yeah. So what can we expect from the gig?
We've got to play My Funny Valentine, of course. All the lovely romantic songs of that era. I Can't Give You Anything But Love and Got You Under My Skin. What's This Thing Called Love? Anything with love in the title. Blue Moon and Fly Me to the Moon. Requests. Put in your requests, dear audience. We take requests. So.
Oh, excellent.
I'll put in some of my horrible tunes as well. And yeah, there's like 3 days at least of great music to just plough through. But
so people should bring their sleeping bags.
There we go. Yeah, kick us out. There.
That's going to be wonderful. Yeah. And I've stressed again, if you haven't been to the Symphony Hall upstairs, it is a beautiful venue, and this really is a great time to sign up for tickets, because it will be a very intimate evening. Out of all of the concerts that you played there, upstairs and downstairs, are there any that you remember as being special?
I've enjoyed every one, and I do remember every one of them. I love playing with the orchestra, because Diane Whittry, she's like Gene and Dave in the way that she's a fantastic musician, and we, of course, rehearse and discuss points along the music, whether it's Mozart concerto or whatever concerto we're playing. And there's that nice just level understanding of what we agree is good taste, and we'll discuss little turns of phrases with the orchestra. And she's a fantastic technician and musician, and brings such wonderful colours and sounds out of the orchestra. That sounds like a cliche, but it really is true with your symphony here. And the orchestra, very pleasant people. And I like everything to be relaxed. I hope I never get high maintenance, because high maintenance bleeds into the other musicians on stage.
Tensions.
Yeah, and the audience get rankled. And I'd say, let's give the composer credit and listen to what the music says. And the same here at the Rodel Room. You just let the music speak.
Diane is quite amazing, because she is such an accessible individual. Mm. She's very talented at what she does, but you always feel that if you're on the peripheries of understanding the music, she brings you into it, both when you speak to her, but also the way that she projects herself and the way that
her passion is exactly for, and what she's done for your orchestra here. I mean, it's always been fantastic, but the diversity of programming and all the little sort of threads that have been nurtured over the years. It's lovely. It's just making music accessible to as many people.
Simon, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful discussion.
Thank you. We talk at last.
Yes. We talk at last, yes. So best wishes for your Valentine's Day show, and thank you for visiting us. Simon Mulligan plays a special Valentine's Day concert with his trio on Friday, February the 14th at 7:30 p.m., upstairs at the Symphony Hall Rodale Room.
See you there.
See you there.
Yes.
This is John Dodds, WDIY 88.1. And we're going to go out with something special from Simon, something quite different off his Queen album, no less.